Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get it. Oh yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Oh yeah. Come on, Luther. 365 days of motivation, personal empowerment just for you. I'm Marvin Rome. Got another show. Let's kick it off just right. We're going to talk about curing ourselves again, but we're going to understand the code operating within us. Let's do it right now. Come on. Oh, yeah. Better love.
Girl, that's what I got.
Oh, yeah. No better love. There is no better love than for self and kind. There is no better love. You got to love yourself, people. And that's what the African-American empowerment is all about. So welcome again. Today's topic is, again, in the series of curing ourselves. But this time we're talking about understanding the code that's operating within ourselves, within our minds, within our hearts. And we're going to take a look at some things. And I hope you will offer yourself the opportunity to make some adjustments in your life and in your mind, right, that we continue to examine ourselves so that we can better ourselves, our communities. And so we always like to start with the mission of the NAAEA, and that is simply to have a five-part concept of peace, peace in your heart, peace in your mind. But the mission is to ensure that the needs of the African-American community are met through the development of programs and services to educate, inspire, motivate, and empower our people. That's right. That means you, the African-American community. And we're going to continue the process of educating our people. And we're going to focus in a number of areas as mental, physical, emotional, and spiritually. But we want to be able to focus in five critical areas for survival on this continent. One is political. It's politics. It's a political agenda. Do you have a political agenda where you live? Who's thinking about that? Economics. Do you have an economic agenda where you live? What do you have for your family? What's the plan? What's the business? What's the mindset? What's the money management? What's the fiscal operation that you have in place to ensure that we can create jobs for our young people and even for our adults? Hey, we need it. That's E. A is athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. You taking care of your body and your mind. Did you go out for a walk or a run today? What, are you moving? Are you stretching? Are you doing yoga or Pilates or something? You got to take care of your body. But then you got to be able to insulate yourself from the stuff that's going on. This is a self-destructive culture. I'm sorry. You better insulate and isolate yourself in your mind from the experience, from the total experience that's going on, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Are you doing the work of working on yourself? Are you working on your mind? Are you doing those things that you know you need to do to take care of your health and your mental and emotional awareness? The answer should be, of course, yes, absolutely yes, Marvin. I'm doing it. I'm working on myself. I'm training. I'm working out. I'm also doing the things that will continue to help me mentally. That's doing some mindfulness. You got to do some mind work. You got to do some mind, and you got to work on your mind. Then that's culture. See, culture. You have to have cultural programs, relevant cultural programs that really stimulate and create boundaries and lanes for us to live in. Right? You got to have boundaries. Everybody else in the world got them. They have cultures that they live by, that long-standing traditions that they don't violate those cultural and social norms that you need to get a good fabric that guides your people. That's what we need. I'm sorry. And then there's education, and that's the last, the comprehensive education that really allows us to look at ourselves mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Are we educating our children? Are we developing them that they can get in line to be the next generation that can really help us get through? So that's the work that needs to be done. That's the NAAEA. Become a member today. Join us. We need your help, right? We need your support. We need your commitment. We need the work to be done on the ground, right, wherever you are. That's what we need. That's the NAAEA. It's the National African American Empowerment Association. Who's doing that? Who's empowering African Americans? I'm talking about really empowering. We got to get ourselves together. Who's doing it? Guess what? It's going to be us. I'm going over to Brother George's, the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, welcome sir. Welcome back, brother. Welcome back. How are you?
Thank you very much, brother. I'm doing fine, man. I'm doing fine. I'm hanging in there. You know my situation, you know, but
yeah.
I'm here, you know.
All right. Good to
today,
have you.
Thank you, brother. Today, my Kwanzaa principle is Nia, which is purpose, to make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. And I think that that's very significant, because we need to get back to supporting ourselves and building an economic base for ourselves. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter, you know, with all that's going on in this country. So I like Nia for today's Kwanzaa principle. Now, today, I'm going to do something a little different with Willie Lynch. Some time back, I spoke about the presence of our people on the in the Americas. And so I'm going to read from a book called The Lost Aboriginal Heritage of the So-Called Negro African American. This book was written by Chief Amaru Naga Taga Shi Ali, also known as Dr. Ali Muhammad. Much of the so-called African slave trade was fabricated in the way that has been explained by a scholar, a source, Africans and Native Americans, by Jack D. Forbes, shows that the so-called Indians, Aboriginal Americans, on the eastern seaboard were Mandinka, or, as Dr. Clive Winters has provided us with their indigenous name, She, or also known as XI, which is She, Omex. Forbes shows in the book how many of these people who were called American Indians were sold into slavery in Europe. The fact that they were described as resembling Ethiopians is a dagger in the heart of current Native American history as given in the miseducational institutions of the world. This gathering of slaves from the Americas first is the opposite direction in which we were taught the slave trade went in. These so-called Native Americans or Indians were classified as Negroes and Blacks in the slave books of Seville, Spain, and the Jesuit letters of Brazil, Forbes reports. So basically, that right there is food for thought. You have to do your own research as to whether you want to accept that theory or not, because there are different theories. And it's much more information to back that thought in this book, you know, but I just wanted to toss it out there because I had mentioned something to that effect some months back. So it's back to you, brother.
Thank you, Brother George. Again, this is about education. Go do the research. You're not sure. Hey, this brother is on it, and it's up to us, again, to educate ourselves. That's the E. You got to educate. You got to educate, you got to understand, and then you got to be able to use the information to liberate yourself. Thank you, Brother George. Once again, it's purpose, Nia. We got to do that. We got to build ourselves. We got to develop our people. Who's going to do it? It has to be us. It has to be us. Man, what a great show we have for you today. So all you got to do is sit back and listen. And so I got to be able to start with something really good.
The world is in a serious condition. I mean, come on, tell us about it. What's going on out here? And if we don't collaborate together,
that's right,
to get it to the place where we make a difference, it's a sad, sad situation.
There it is. You heard it from Stan. He's talking about the situation. He's talking about what's going on. We're going to have to do the work of working on ourselves. We're going to have to get it together. And like Brother George said, again, we're going to have to build. We're going to have to develop ourselves. We're going to have to educate ourselves. We're going to have to learn, unlearn, and then relearn our history. It's up to us to do this. We got to do the work of working on ourselves. We have to be able to resurrect ourselves. We have to be able to restore ourselves. And we have to understand what's going on and where we are today. I'm going to my first clip. Sit back, listen, and learn. We're talking about curing ourselves, understanding the code that's operating within. We're going to start with a foundation for what's working.
The speech was delivered by Willie Lynch on the banks of the James River in the colony of Virginia in 1712. Lynch was a British slave owner in the West Indies. He was invited to the colony of Virginia in 1712 to teach his methods to slave owners there. The term lynching is derived from his last name. Greetings, gentlemen. I greet you here on the bank of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I'm here to help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods for control of slaves. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program is implemented. As our boat sails south on the James River, named for our illustrious king, whose version of the Bible we cherish, I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along its highways in great numbers, you are here using the tree and the rope on occasion. I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple miles back. And you're not only losing valuable stock by hangings, you are having uprisings, slaves are running away, your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for maximum profit, you suffer occasional fires, your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. I do not have to elaborate. I'm not here to enumerate your problems. I'm here to introduce you to a method of solving them. In my bag here, I have foolproof method for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 400 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseer can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among slaves, and I take these differences and I make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. On the top of my list is age, but it's there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, sizes of plantations, status on plantations, attitude of owners, whether the slaves live in the valley, on a hill, east, west, north, south, have fine hair, coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now that you have a list of differences, I shall give you an outline of action. But before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust, and envy stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Don't forget, you must pitch the old versus the old black male versus the young black male. The young black male against the old black male. You must use the dark-skinned slaves versus the light-skinned slaves and the light-skinned slaves versus the dark-skinned slaves. You must use the female versus the male and the male versus the female. You must also have white servants and overseers who distrust all black. But it's necessary that your slaves trust and depend on us. They must love, respect, and trust only us. Gentlemen, these kids are your keys to control them. Use them. Have your wives and children use them. Never miss an opportunity. If used intensely for 1 year, the slaves themselves will remain perpetually distrustful. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right.
First and foremost, I want to thank everybody for taking their time out.
There you have it. This brother broke it down. And I want you to think about perpetually. And perpetually means it's done in a way that it never ends or never changes. It's constant, right? And as we look at ourselves, as we look at the list, right, the list simply says, let's pit them against each other, right? That in this way, that once we pit them against each other, we'll have them working against each other for 300 to 400 years, if not up to 1,000. I want you to hear me now, right? We're talking about a system of divide and conquer, a system that has us to fight ourselves, to work against ourselves. You tell me, right? I'm going to ask the question. Is it still working? And some people say, oh, Willie Lynch is not true. It's not real. You look at it and you tell me, if not these situations that could be just random occurrences, is it not in our community that we have young against old and old against young in some way? Light against dark and dark against light. Women against men, men against women. We got to get it together. And then is this the case that we don't trust each other? And the case is, the real truth is, that is the situation. We don't trust each other. We're killing each other in the streets, I'm sorry, right? Wherever we work, we got some kind of chaos or turmoil going on with ourselves. So we've been turned against each other, right? We've been brainwashed, and that's the code that's operating within us. How do we undo the code? How do we undo the work that's been worked inside of us? What's our plan to break this perpetual sentence of distrust within ourselves? You tell me, I'm going to the lines. Here, this is how we're going to get started.
Bring it. What? Right
here. Go we ain't going nowhere. Anywhere. We got to get it right, though. All right. I'm at the lines. I'm at 9282. Are you live? Are you ready?
Yes, sir, my brother. Peace. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine, brother. How are you?
Good, good. I hope everyone else is doing well as well. Brother, I've got to start this off today by saying, you know, I realized this week that, you know, I make mistakes. And I was wrong in something I recently did. I've been saying, be the one, you know, be the one. And, you know, I've been saying that since you know me, the one. But I fail to realize that being the one is the number one thing we've been taught we can't be. So for thousands of years now, that's what we've been taught, that we cannot be. We can't be the one. Not in this world in which we live. You know, that's because the one is God. The one is Jesus. The one is the righteousness, the beginning, the Alpha, the Omega, the understanding of all. That's the one. And I've been saying we need to be the one. Find that God in you. But we've been taught and raised in this system that there is no God in you. That you can't be the one. Only time you're going to see the one is when you die and leave here. You're not going to be the one. You're incapable of being the one. And we as a people have to understand that is what's killing us, our disbelief in ourselves, our lack of love of ourselves, and failing to understand that we are the one. And so, you know, I recently started looking at it like this. Let's talk about conception. You know, of producing a child, reproducing our future. But let's look at it from the conceived point of view. Let's look at it from that conceived child's point of view. What does that newborn, what does that life see and start to understand when its head first comes out of the womb of its mother? You know, what does he understand? What does he see? What is going to happen to that child, that life, that child of God? And I began to realize that if he doesn't or she doesn't come out of that womb into the hands of a king and a queen, of a mother and a father, or
come
of
on,
a god
brother.
Or a goddess, then that child is being born into hell. Because if it ain't God catching him on the other side of that womb, if it's not that queen, if it's not his mother catching him on the other side of that womb, that child has been born into hell and will have no control whatsoever over the choices that he or she have to make in their lives. The language is predetermined. The schooling system is predetermined. The job possibilities are predetermined. Everything is laid out. You got choices coming out of this womb in this world if you're not caught by God and his wife, the goddess, your mama. You got choices, yeah, but your choices are limited. Nigga, you can run a football. You can throw a football. You can throw a baseball. You can shoot a basketball. You can run track and field. You can go to this college. You can go to that college. If you can pay me, you can do all these things. It's all set up and predetermined. But are they the lives that God wanted us to be born into? See, if it's not the God and the God is on the other side of that womb catching you, when you come out of there, you are born into hell. And that's why the Bible put that part about you got to be born again. You got to come out of this thing because your mama and dad ain't on the other end of that thing. Who, you know, the stories that we tell our unborn, our youth, what happened? How did you come into existence? Well, let's assume a man and a woman met each other and fell in love. They got together and committed to each other, and then they got married, and the night he knocked her up, you came. That's how life should be. Or you had a nigga that meet a bitch at a nightclub and so forth, nigga run and run around the club, and bam, and then you came. This is from the view of the conceived, from the child that's coming out into this world. Who's catching him? Who is catching him when his head comes out of that womb? Who's on the other side? Determines the life of that child. And if you got slaves on the other side of that womb, if you got niggas on the other side of that womb, Negroes, bitches, hoes, if you got all that on the other side of that womb, the child has been born into hell. That's what we need to realize. And I say I made the mistake because I'm trying to teach us as people be the one. Well, we've been taught and raised and reared that ain't no way in the hell we can be the one. And we don't even try. And when you bring that conversation up among us, it's too big of an idea. We can't do it. We start making, oh, no, we start throwing everything out there. It just kick us back down. Like the Willie Lynch thinks that we just, we ain't Jesus. We ain't God. We can't be that. No, nigga, who you think you is? Take that, be the one, and be the one and get the hell up out of here.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we are. And I made a mistake. I keep forgetting. And I hate to sound arrogant because I'm not. I guess I've been blessed to kind of see this thing. Because one thing I do know in my life, I know my past, I know my present, and I know my future. You know, so I know those things are for certainty because I've lived them, you know, and I've seen them, I've experienced them. That's where we are as a people, and I underestimate that. So that thing is deep. That thing is deep. We have to get our mind. I know you want to move forward, brother. I know you want to do. We got to take action. We got to do things, but we got to get our minds right.
We're
going to be continuing this down the wrong road, wrong path, making mistake after mistake after mistake because we don't understand, man, the validity of this thing. I mean, how tight it is. Like, we come out that womb, if it ain't God and his wife, God is on the other side, you're born in hell. That's what we're fighting against, brother. That's what we must realize. That we're fighting against. Every one of our children come out of the womb is doomed to death unless we don't change. Unless we change, and it's a living death. But the death occurs the day he's born into this world. You know, it doesn't occur on the streets of the hood. That's the product of it happening. But it's all predetermined. What kind of nigga are you gonna be? You know, when we come out, that's the question that we ask. That every black man on this planet has asked themselves at some point in their lives when they realize where they are, what kind of nigga are you going to be? Or are you going to be a man? Being a man going to mean you're willing to die. You're giving it up because but if not, the other thing to stay here, what kind of nigga are you going to be? You know? So when the child or the children come out the womb, you got niggas catching them.
Oh, Lord.
And they're born in the hell. I mean, that's the truth of it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you burning them ears up today. Brother, I'm going to hold you right there. Hold you right there.
Yes,
don't come back to you.
Yes, sir.
All right.
he lay it down like that, y'all. Y'all know what you're going to get, right? The question is, though, the brother's right. Who's catching our babies on the other end? And listen, it's not the physical person. It's the mind. What kind of mind are catching our babies? And who are crafting these people? Who are developing the parents that, like he said, that get together? Is it somebody who's been working together, who's been developing a foundation for our young people and our children that they can live in harmony and peace? Or just two people who got together to feel pleasure? That's a good question, brother. Hey, we have to have and find and identify a new can-do attitude, a can-do mentality. We are a beautiful people. Our babies are beautiful miracles that pop out every day. But what kind of world are they coming into? What kind of mindset are they coming into? Who is it that's catching them on the other side? And how can we, again, correct, right, and redirect? It's correction for direction. So, again, I ask, what's going on with our people, right? Again, like Brother George said in the beginning, we got to use the Kwanzaa principle of Nia, which is purpose. We got to build and develop our people, our communities, our children, our relationships. Who's helping us to say, let's get some parenting skills and some relationship development skills going on in our communities all across this beautiful land? Who's doing that? And when are we going to resurrect our minds that we can get to work on working on ourselves? It's up to us. All right, I'm going back to the lines right now. Great call, brother. I know y'all don't like that, but he's telling the truth. Red Day. All right, I'm going over to 8128. Cranking it up. Come on through.
Bring it.
Oh, yeah, 8128 is Marvin Rome. What you got for me today?
How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing well. How are you?
No, brother, I mean, of course, there is absolutely no question about what the brother just said. Lately, I've been noticing a couple of things. Even with a lot of what's going on in our communities right here in Richmond, with all the shootings, the indiscriminate killings of people. Okay, what falls behind all of that? Okay, is what I and I see in just when you watch, when you look at TV, look at any kind of movie or program, you see us black people scattered amongst white society. If we don't see of any kind of influence. You don't see our community strive. You don't see our families intact. You don't see us gainfully employed or even owning our own business. And if we do, they are right there on the edge of bankruptcy or on the edge of anything else. In other words, what I'm saying is we don't see any prosperity in our lives. As a people, we see it individually when we amongst some other people. But we are always helping them other people. We ain't helping each other. We don't see each other pulling each other out of poverty. We see them being supported by us. And that is something that we really need to think about. Why can't we pull ourselves up out of poverty? Why can't we come back to our community and invest some of this education that we have, some of this ingenuity that we have in each other? These kids are killing each other and ourselves indiscriminately because they don't care. They don't have nothing to care about. They don't see a future. They don't can't see themselves. How can you see yourself when you're killing yourself? If you can kill yourself, then that means that you feel like you ain't worth living. So when you kill a mother and a 3-month-old baby, and other people without even thinking about it, how do you think, what do you think of life? What do you think of your life? Because you sure can't think of their life because you just shot into a crowd and killed a little baby and a mother who didn't have nothing to do with anything that you were doing anything about. Whatever it was, it wasn't worth a human life and it certainly wasn't worth people that you just shot into in the middle of a playground. You shot into Now, what I'm saying all this to say is that we need to think about the fact that we have to go back to looking at ourselves and the fact that we do not fit into this society comfortably. We can only make our own society if we don't fit comfortably into anything. Because we have already been here 300 years and it has not worked. We have tried to all this immigration. We tried to immolate. We tried to assimilate. We tried to act like.
True.
We tried to be like. And all we're doing
True.
Is serving them. And they ain't serving us at all.
Facts.
It's just plain and simple. It is just what it is. And when you watch any kind of TV, you watch any kind of movie, all you see is us serving them. That's it. You don't see them serving us, and you ain't definitely gonna never see that. But you don't see us trying to act like and be like them. It does not work. It ain't going to never work because we are of a different breed. We are a different type of people. We have different cultures. We have different mechanisms. We think differently. We feel differently. We even grow from inside out, not from outside in. It ain't how the environment is the problem. It's how we see ourselves. Our environment would change if we seen ourselves differently.
True.
That's not the environment. We do not care so much about how it looks. We care about how it feels. And how it feels is real bad. It feels bad, so we feel bad. So what do? We do bad things. Okay? It is very simple. The mayor said in a recent article that it's poverty. Poverty? Poverty is a manifestation. It is not the actual. It is not the actual, the thing itself. It's never been the thing itself. Because we lived with less and never even thought we were poor. But now,
True. They're
telling us that we're poor. What they're telling us is what we're listening to and what we're reacting to. Okay? What they say, we should feel, think, act, and believe. When we know better. And that's where the conflict is.
Mm-hmm.
We are not looking at ourselves. We're not looking at, like you said, brother, you got to look at yourself. You got to work on yourself. You got to look at what you need, what you want, not what they say and what they want you to think. But like you said, you got to isolate yourself from that in your mind first and know that you're better than that. Know that, like
that's
the brother said, you're kings and queens. If you don't know you're a king and a queen, how you going to act like one? If you think you're great, if you think that, then you shall be that. As you said, though, you got to work on yourself. If you can't work on yourself, you certainly can't work on changing nothing about you or about your people.
True.
Calling each other niggas ain't going to help. Calling yourself a brother and understanding what being your brother means. It means that you care. It means that you will work with them, that you mean you will care.
That's right.
And you will do things. And you will sacrifice for him. Not sacrifice him.
Great point.
You know what I'm saying, baby? No, brother. Hey, listen. We just got to do the work, like you said, brother. We got to do the work. Okay? And we got to keep working on it, brother. There is no idea that is bad when it is about us coming together.
True.
We can adjust it, but we got to think it first before we can adjust it. Okay? There is no bad unless you make it so. It is good only when you believe in the goodness of yourself and your brother. Believe that you are worthy. You got to believe you're worthy.
True.
Bottom line. Okay.
All right, brother. Thank you so much. Hey, great points. Great points. I'll wrap back around to you in just a minute. Hey, this has to be the best 60 minutes in the black community that I know of. I'm just saying. Who's going to talk about
getting right to the issues that's relevant to our people, pointing out the issues as they exist. And we're not just talking about trying to make mockery or trying to make fun of ourselves, but we're correcting. That's correction for direction. That's saying let's get a new course and a new path. Let's work on ourselves like the brother said. But the PowerPoint here is the brother said, who is catching our babies when they come out? Who's the daddy? Who's the king? Who's the queen? Who's the mother? Who's the one that's developing and training and teaching our kids to be who they were born to be? That's a great question. I'm going over to 3636. I'm cranking it up for you. Let's get ready. 3636, you're on the line. Come on.
Bring it. What?
What?
Right here.
Uh-huh. 3636.
Hello?
Hey.
Can you hear me? Hi.
Yes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. There's just so much that I'm just filled up. I was listening.
Hey, go ahead.
Just
let it rip.
I got in the car. But this is a thing that really gets me. I look at how the movement is being hijacked and how, I mean, you know, I know about the issues and everything, but you got all these people who have become, you know, personalities rather than persons that are really trying to be involved, and they've become a brand. And when you have people doing that, you have the people that we're, the kids that we're trying to talk to, that we're trying to even, for lack of a better phrase, ingratiate ourselves to, they're looking at us, and then they're looking at them. You know, what have they sold back? You know, they're making books, they're getting awards, they're getting money, yada, yada, yada.
True.
When they see that it's quicker for them to make money doing dirty, you know?
Mm.
And my point is, well, not my point, but another thing is that I feel like we who are, you know, trying to make a difference, we need to put some of these celebrities' feet to the fire who our babies are buying their music, buying their T-shirts. We need to call them out, you know, in a way that will make them feel guilty, you know? I mean, there's a lot of things that the system has done for us, but you have people of color that feel like that they have to apologize for doing something for their own community. Like they, you know, they buck dancing for these people. And they're not, you know, it's just like, did I say something wrong?
No, I like
Hello?
That. She just called it out there.
Oh,
buck dancing.
Oh,
who doing that?
Oh, you know.
I'm with
God,
you.
Don't get me. You know, and so, you know, if we could have a lot, you know, of minds, like a think tank, like my mother, well, she wasn't my biological mother, but like a spiritual mother, and she never knew it. I never got a chance to see her, was Dr. Julia Hare. And she and her husband, they were on it. I mean, like, we have people going in, you know, our people going in, you know, saying, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But then behind the door, they're making deals, you know, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And her phrase was, we're getting played while they're getting paid, was the phrase that she used.
All right.
And if to just, you know, I don't know how, because I'm, you know, I've always had a heart for this. It's what I grew up, you know, seeing because of my mom and my dad being wrongfully incarcerated. But I am myself, as a single parent, former, because my kids are adults, all I was about was surviving. And I wasn't doing anything, and I don't put anybody down for how they felt like they had to get to their next level as long as it wasn't hurting anybody. But my whole focus was my kids and keeping them safe. So I didn't have the time. I didn't know that I had the time. I didn't know I had the ability, you know, to do or to speak out like I am now.
Right.
And I don't know how to get started. I got to do something because I have grandchildren. I have two grandsons. One is afraid to get a driver's license because he's afraid he might get killed. You know, and I'm trying to tell him, you know, baby, you can't live in fear, you know. You can't, you have to do. So whatever, you know, I'm listening, but whatever I can do to contribute, anyone listening, you know, I can give my information. I mean, I don't have a platform other than I am. That's all, you know. So,
all right.
You know.
That's good enough, and that's a good start. I would definitely plug you in. We got some good people in the network, so I definitely plug you in and see how we could get you going, sister. I appreciate you calling in. I'm going to get back to you in just a minute. I'll try to wrap back around. We got some more time left. Thank you, though. Great comments.
Okay.
See, here we are. That's what we're talking about, right? When we can begin to do that work, right, committing to seeing what the real deal is. The sister said we need to put some feet to the fire. You know what that's called? That's called a system of accountability. Who's going to start holding our so-called leaders and our so-called entertainers accountable for the music that they put out, for the images that they give our kids? But you got to remember that all of them are getting paid to do it, right? And so what we're talking about is surviving, and we're talking about a livelihood, and our people, we're going to talk about our talented 10th a little bit, have been paid to sacrifice for themselves. They're going to protect themselves. Like the brother said, all we got to do is come back home. We're not coming back home because we're trying to save ourselves. We in survival mode. We just trying to get in and fit in, like Stan said. Ain't no more getting in to fit in. All we asking again is, what's going on in your mind? And the brother said it today. It just keeps sticking with me. Who is on the tail end of catching that baby when it come out? Is it a man? Is it a woman? Is it a queen? Is it a king? Who is it? Who is it that's running the show over in our households? And are they productive and constructive teaching our babies how to be men and women and how to stand up and be honorable in their actions, in their ways? Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go over to Brother George. It's his turn. And he, you know what? Brother George is like this. I always tell y'all every week. Brother George, get ready. Oh, yeah.
Bring it!
Brother George, what you got, brother? We got a good conversation going on. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir, brother.
What you got?
My thoughts are always that that we need to begin to flood our young people with our knowledge of self, with our accomplishments. Hmm. We have to turn negatives into positives. We have to learn how to do that, because we're not going to ever get anywhere when we criticize each other. You know, because, like, nobody likes to be criticized. And so sometimes I found that you can sit down at the table and talk to somebody that might not have known how to do what you're asking them to do. You know, like some athletes, they might not know how to contribute to what we're doing. You know, they've been burnt by people that tell them that they're trying to start this and start that, and they put their money into it, and then the person schemes them. You know, so we have to figure out a way to become closer to each other so that we can sit down and have conversations like this in peace with each other.
True.
You know, I'm one that at one time in my life was very critical of people that didn't believe what I believed. And then I realized once when the minister said that we needed to start going to the churches and make our presence known and sit down and listen to the pastor's sermon and, you know, fellowship with our people to let them know that we're not their enemy. And so
that's right.
I try to do the same thing now with people that don't necessarily believe in nationalism. You know, I'm a nationalist. You know, I'm a black nationalist. And so I believe that our people can accomplish what's necessary ourselves. And so there are some that are integrationists. And so some integrationists might have some great ideas, you know. And you have to begin to, like, hear what everybody is saying. Hear them out. and then, you know, come together and have a decent plan. Because Willie Lynch was designed to keep us pitted against each other. And to this day, it's still working. You asked that question, and yes, it is. It's still working. You know, I listen sometimes to our sisters talk, and they kind of try to be careful of how they speak to black men, but it's hard for them not to talk negatively when black men are feeding into the Willie Lynch trip, and we're treating ourselves like niggas and treating our women like bitches. So how do you think they're going to change their mind about us when we're treating them in a way that you don't want to be treated? So I think that it's all a mass con, you know, some of the terminology they used back in the 60s and 70s. It is a mass con, but we have to turn negatives into positives and figure out ways where we can communicate with each other better. And because I know for certain that we can accomplish anything that we will, you know, that's something that Marcus Garvey said years ago.
True.
You know, when the Black Nationalist Movement was really firing up back in the 1920s and 1930s, because we didn't got into the 2020s now. So,
right, you know, 100 years ago.
Yes, sir. You know, but I just feel like that we need to we got to take the time, you know, to hear each other out and try to work together the best we can. And it's always the option that if you see that you can't work with someone, hey, don't work with them. You know, it's like if you see that where they're headed is nowhere, then you got the option to say, no, I'm not going down that route because I don't see where you're going and what you're doing don't make no sense to me. So, bam. But you have some people that basically have identical plans, but they just feel like that some other people might be able to help out, you know, or we could work together with this group or that group. And if that be the case, I can deal with that, you know. But at the same time, I still want to make sure that my people have a strong foothold.
Right.
At the same time, I don't mind working with nobody else because that's the way of the world. You know, if you read some books, you know, of medieval times and ancient times, we were the salesmen of the world. We were the ones that
created
the trade routes and all of that, you know, to trade with the rest of the world. They just came in and copied what it was we were doing. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The thing that I think is wrong with that is that the world is not told that. That's where I have a problem, you know. And I really want to commend Brother Booker for what he said about how our children come into the world. Because he's exactly right. He's exactly right, you know. And it's a term that they use that I didn't realize it until Dr. George DeGruy was talking about it on one of her interviews, and it's called epigenetics. And epigenetics is like a process where God made it so that when we're birthed into the world, that we're already prepared for what the world is. Like when we were birthed into slavery, we were prepared to be slaves when we came into the world. We were prepared to be slaves. But now that the time has changed and it's a new kind of knowledge that's needed to be told to our children are not birthed into the world to be slaves. And if you notice,
that's
our
right.
children don't behave like slaves. And so that has changed. And so we need to understand that, you know, and I think that we could get a lot further with moving our children forward. But that's me, brother, and I'm out.
Okay, before you go, Brother George, what's the name of that book,
sir,
again that you gave us in the beginning?
The name of the book is The Lost Aboriginal Heritage of the So-Called Negro African American. And it's called Resolving a Historical, Political, and Economic Identity Crisis. And that book is by Dr. Ali Muhammad.
All right. Thank you, brother.
It's all about education, y'all. Education. Thank you, Brother George. Education, education, education. We have to educate in order to stop being ignorant. And ignorant is not a negative term. It means you just don't know. And for, again, like the brother said earlier, for our kids to be running around just shooting each other randomly or shooting across the playground and all of that, they are completely and absolutely ignorant because somebody that caught them on the other end should have taught them better than that. Because at one time, there was some good, what they call home training going on. And I'm asking the question today, who's doing the home training now? What happened to those values? What happened to being peaceful and resolving our conflicts, right? Sometimes we're going to have to disagree. And sometimes we're going to have to agree to disagree to keep moving forward. But we're going to have to do the work. Again, that work is working on ourselves. We're going to have to put our hearts and our minds behind what it is that's coming out of our mouths, right? We're going to have to educate our people. And that's going to be our job. I'm going back to 9282. Let me crank up the sound real quick, y'all. You know how we do. Got to get this thing right. There it is. Oh, yeah. 9282. It's that time. Come on.
Bring it. What?
Mm-hmm. All right. I can see Brother George rocking his head right now. 9282, what you got?
Yes, sir, brother. I'm going to read something to you right quick. It's a foreword from
a
book by an author in the 1900s, white man. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but if
you know
your history, you're going to be able to figure out who it is by what I'm reading to you, okay? It says, the day mankind finds out what I was trying to defend this nation from, then that's the day World War III will start. For on that day, mankind will learn that I was trying to save my nation from the Freemasons, the Illuminati, the Jews. For the Americans, for if the Americans win the war, they will conquer the world and forever be a slave to the Jews, and they will try to conquer God. Do you know who America has in its possessions? No, the soldier replied. The Americans have the jewels of God. The Americans have stolen God's precious jewels. What do you mean, his precious jewels? The soldier asked. The author said, America has stolen the Jews of God, his jewelry, the Negroes. They are the true Hebrews. What a foolish move and a direct challenge to God. And they plan on moving these false white Jews into a state of Israel. America is desperate in its attempt to win this war using atomic bombs on Japan. America will destroy the whole world in its attempt to conquer it. When America and its Jewish slave masters conquer the world and the world realize I was right, then all the nations will begin a third world war to dethrone America of its rule. Every nation will soon possess atomic bombs of their own. It will be the end of the world as we know it. Why will the Jews control America? The soldier asked. The author replied, because the white Jews know that the Negroes are the real children of Israel. And to keep America secret, the Jews will blackmail America. They will extort America. Their plan for world domination won't work if the Negroes know who they are. The white citizens of America will be terrified to know that all this time they've been mistreating and discriminating and lynching the children of Israel. They fear God will destroy them as he destroyed Egypt for doing the same thing. So the elite, the Illuminati, keeps this a secret at all costs. After I die, I will one day cause World War III just by this message, which will be like planting a seed in a people's minds until it sprouts once they nurture that seed and seek more truth and learn I was right. I did the world a favor by killing the false Jews before they designated a false state of Israel. But I fear I have failed. The world will fall into the hands of Satan. You know what white man said that or wrote that?
Who said that, brother?
Adolf Hitler.
Oh. Wow. What's the name of that
German
book?
German politician. I ordered the book recently after I looked at this forward, and it's being delivered to me. When I get it, I will share it with you if it's from that book.
Right.
Okay, because all I got was the forward.
Right.
But it startled me that, you know, Hitler wrote, I mean, he's saying, we are the people of God. And America has control of God's people.
Right. If you read Mein Kampf, there's a lot of that in that as well, and I'm sure Brother George can elaborate on that. But you're exactly right, brother. I appreciate that. You got to know who you are, and that's the whole point. I'm going to slide on over for
either
a minute,
one.
Brother, and see if I can wrap up. I like that. All right. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Again. That's knowledge. Knowledge is power. You don't have to believe it. Do the research for yourself. But if Adolf Hitler said it, then, hey, you know, you go and decide for yourself. Again, you got to understand your history and you got to know who you are. I am going to take a moment to just take a breath for a minute because that was powerful. And again, I want to remind you who is catching our babies when they come out. Who's doing it? Who's fathering? Who's mothering and who's parenting? I'm going to slide on over to 8128. Last round real quick if I can get it in. 8128. Just like this. Come on.
Bring it.
Bring it.
What?
8128.
Yeah, brother.
You there?
There's been some very powerful, some very powerful statements made here today. That we only know are true. We don't even have to question them. Even if we have not done the research, when we hear it, we know that it's true. Right now, there are a group of individuals, which I will inform you of later, that are coming into our community talking about dealing with the black-on-black crime situation in our community. Whole bunch of different groups. And there's one thing that is most evident about all of these conversations that they're talking about, and that is that none of them are talking about us as a people having a heritage that is what is totally missing from being known by the people in the community. If they're talking about us being poor, they're talking about us being uneducated. They're talking about all of the things, but they're not talking about our culture. They're not talking about what we really need, because that is a symptom. Poverty is a symptom. It keeps killing each other and killing ourselves is a symptom. What is the cause? We're not looking at the cause. The cause is that our culture is missing. Us knowing our identity. Like you said, Brother Judge, saying that the kings and queens, we don't know. We know about some distant history or some vague past or which we consider insignificant accomplishments. Although they're not, we look at them that way because they're not things that we can identify with as helping us move from one place to another in our evolution. We need our culture. We need a cultural understanding of ourselves. And that is separate from what this society has told us. We, as you said in the past, brother, we got to stop listening to those who seek to dominate us and control us and to listen to ourselves. And the only way you can do that is by looking at your past, your history, your makeup, your psychology. You know that there's a book that was written all about our psychology, about the psychology of the African-American. We really need to look into that book and other books that exemplify our ability, our capability, our internal belief and spirituality and ability to think, see, hear, and achieve in ways in which these folks don't ever want us to get in touch.
True. Well, I got to wrap it up right there, brother. I know you on the road, but I got to go. I appreciate it, brother.
Okay.
I really do. Thank you so much. We got about, well, I ain't going to talk about how much time we got. I'm going to just say this before we wrap it up. We need peace. We need peace in our community. We need to know ourselves. Come back next week. Tell somebody about the show. Let's be the best at being ourselves. Let's get it. Peace. To reach the unreachable.